Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. I'm very excited to be here. Hold on, I'm getting a message right now. No, just kidding. Forget this. No, just kidding. We've been talking about what's in a name, and we've talked about a couple of God's names that God has, and then we went into some names that maybe God calls us. And last week, we kind of touched on being accepted or chosen. Today, we want to just talk about being forgiven, that God calls us forgiven. There's something about a nickname or a name that sticks with you for the rest of your life. I'm looking over here because I know you got a nickname. But, you know, our names that we're given at birth, they stick with us forever. There's nothing you could do about that unless you legally change your name. But I'm talking about nicknames that kind of get stuck with you, and then people call you that for the rest of your life. My dad tells me this story every so often about a time when I was 3 or 4 years old. And him and his best friend were talking. And you know how it is when adults talk and kids are trying to get their attention and everybody's, you know, you're pulling on the leg or you're pulling on the arm. Dad, dad, dad. And it was to hold on. You know, and then you kind of get embarrassed. You're talking to your friend, hold on. You know, you get a little more stern. And so with no hope of him ever, like, talking to me, I went in, I left the room really upset, and I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed one of the chairs, and I pulled it into the living room, and I dragged it right in front of him, and I climbed up on top of it, and I stood on top of the chair, and I looked at him right in the eye, and I said, I want lunch! And that has been my nickname ever since. And when my dad gets a call from his friend Carlos, he says, hey, how's your son doing? And he says, which one? And he goes, oh, you know, lunch. How's he doing? And I said, he's doing fine. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. When you're called something, it kind of sticks with you. My nickname is Lunch. You can call me that if you want to, but you have to be prepared to give me lunch afterwards. For every name that we're given, there's a reason. Like I said, we've looked at some of God's names. We're looking at why does God call us forgiven? And if you'll indulge me, try to pretend like you don't know this story already, right? That you haven't been raised in the church and that you haven't heard it over and over and over. If you can just listen to it fresh with me, it would make my day. When I say that we're forgiven, it implies that we had some kind of a debt. Right? We're in the red. And that's my first point. We were in the red. Right? And that's like financial talk. I'm not a real financial guy. Gabe is a numbers guy. And when you say we're in the red, that's not a good thing, right? That's right. We're in debt. We can't get out of the red. A debt we have to never... I'm sorry. Let me just take a second to relax. We cannot pay this debt, right? Let us stand as we read from God's Word, Matthew 18, 23 through 25. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He could not pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. You guys can have a seat. I know Brandon just prayed, but let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for everybody in here. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless us with just knowledge from on high, Lord. Give us a feeling of your presence, And help us to know how much you love us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the beginning of the Bible, I don't have to tell you guys that in Genesis 3, we start off pretty bad. You know, we get into this red debt pretty quickly. And in Romans, Paul says, no one is righteous, not even one. He says the purpose of the law was to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. So that doesn't make me feel horrible if we're all guilty before God, right? I mean, like, it's not just me when I'm reading the Bible. It's the whole world is guilty before God. The entire world is guilty before God. Remember our debtor, he could not pay his way out of the debt. I read out of the NLT because I like, you know, real numbers. I have no idea the what a drachma, you know, I mean, I could tell you what a coin is, but millions of dollars sounds like a reasonable number to be in debt to, right? He could not pay his debt, and neither can we. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that even our virtuous deeds are like filthy rags, and yet no one calls on God's name or pleads with him for mercy. So if we go back to our story, let's go back to Matthew 18, and we'll start in verse 26. It says, but the man fell before his master, and he begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Now, I read it, and it doesn't sound like I'm that begging, right? Like, think about it. If you were going to be sold, and your wife was going to be sold, and your kids were going to be sold, the begging probably sounded more like, you know, please, be patient with me. I'll get the money to you. I promise, just don't do whatever you're going to say you were going to do. Don't put me in jail. Don't put my wife in jail. Don't put my kids in jail. I'll do it. Whatever it takes, I'll pay it. Please have mercy on me. Then his master was filled with pity for him. And he released him, and he forgave his debt. He was filled with pity. Maybe we know what that feels like. To just, you hear somebody apologize, or you hear somebody beg you, and you just, everything in your heart just kind of melts. And you say, okay, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Get up. Get off your feet. He released him and forgave his debt. What a wonderful king who was filled with so much pity. He releases the man and his family and forgives his debt, which was millions of dollars, if I am correct, if you remember how generous the king is. Remember, this king represents God in the kingdom of heaven. Right? Isaiah writes, come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. But how will God do it? Something must be done, as we've said. Our best efforts are useless. My daughter and I, you know, we send social media videos to each other. This is how kids communicate now. So she sent me this video. It's this really cool older lady from the South, and she's like swinging in a swing under a tree. And she gets up, and she's microphoned, you know, and she said, you know, she gets up close to the camera, and she says, you know, if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And then she walks away, you know, from the camera. And I thought, that's really cute, you know, if God doesn't do it, sometimes if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to get done. And then I read the bottom of it, and it said, me and my homework. And I was like, oh, really? If God doesn't do your homework, it's not going to get done. Okay. But on a serious note, if God doesn't do this, it's not going to get done. We're in the same predicament with our sin. Jesus told his disciples, however, in Mark 3:28, that I tell you the truth, all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. But how? Jesus' blood was shed. And that's my next point, I think. Yes, it is. All right. So I'm just going to read these to you. Jesus is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. As a high priest, Jesus brought his own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven. Once and for all, he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. Remember what we said, what he said to his disciples at the Last Supper. This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. How many people are in a high school in here? We got one. Do you guys know Cypress High down the road? Everybody's passed it by if you live in Cypress. I was a freshman in 1994 at Cypress High right here. What? Either they're laughing at me because I'm old or they because I'm young. But I remember it like it was yesterday, okay? 1994, Forrest Gump came out. You guys all remember that movie? It just came out in the movies. The television show Friends debuted that year. The Northridge earthquake shook us up. You guys remember that one? The earthquake? And then on April 5th, 1994, the news said that Kurt Cobain from the band Nirvana was dead. I like the band. I have at least two albums at that time. Let's just say I could name three songs if I had the shirt, right? You guys seen those people? Name three songs. But I liked the band okay, you know, and I was a little sad. But I remember also that somebody hung up a picture of him in the school locker room and or on the lockers at the school, and it said, Kurt Cobain died for your sins. And I thought, wow, that's so blasphemous. How could anybody say that, you know? And I was shocked. But could you imagine if that idea caught on? Right? If they had a big enough fan base that maybe it could go viral, that maybe, you know, people could start actually thinking that. Kurt Cobain, first of all, did not die for our sins. That rumor did not spread, and I think I know why. First, it's not true, and also there is no proof. Right? We know he died, but that's all we know. If Jesus had just died, we would not be Christians today. We needed proof that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins was actually accepted by God. Jesus proves that we are forgiven because he rose from the dead, which is our next slide, Jared. Now, if you notice that all these are starting to rhyme, right, so it should be easy to guess what the next ones are going to be. Jesus proves that we're forgiven because he rose from the dead. Why is this so important, you ask? Well, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. He goes on to state the fact that Christ has been raised from the dead. He tells us that Jesus is the first of a great harvest of all who died. That death came into the world through a man, and now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. In the Psalms it says, God has removed our sins as far from us as the east is to the west. That God offers forgiveness that we might learn to fear him, that he blots out our sins for his sake and he will never think of them again. God has swept away, our sins like a cloud. This is my favorite one. God has swept away our sins like a cloud. He scatters our offenses like the morning mist. Return to me, says the Lord, for I have paid the price to set you free. Think about it. When the mist comes in the morning, it's just there for a minute. And it's gone. It disappears. That's what our sins are like. He says he scatters them away. And then he says, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Now, this is great news, right? We cannot keep this to ourselves. And that's our next slide, is that the gospel must be spread. I don't know why they all had to rhyme in my head. But it helps me remember. So let us go back to our story in Matthew 18:28 and see what our very blessed friend, who has just been set free and forgiven of all his debt, is up to. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor would not wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. And they went to the king, and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry man sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Wow, that sounds harsh. What do we learn from this man? What not to do, right? There's a horrible movie called Wayne's World. And in the end, there's several endings, right? They end the movie and you think, oh, that was horrible. And then they break into their own movie and say, we're not going to end the movie like that. And then they go back and then they do another ending and then they do even another ending. And then they have the like super duper happy, joyful ending, right? So let's end it on that, right? So let's take this story, put it in the Wayne's World machine and see how maybe it could have turned out different, right? The man leaves the king so excited and happy because he'd been forgiven millions of dollars of debt that he skips and he jumps all the way home. He happens to see a fellow servant who owes him a few thousand dollars. He tells him the great news that he owed the king millions of dollars and he forgave his entire debt. He goes on to tell his fellow servant that he knows that he owes him a few thousand dollars. But since the king was so generous to me, I want to pass it on to you. He told his friend that he didn't have to worry about paying him back. Then they both skipped down the road to the temple to praise God together. But this isn't the end. It has a ripple effect because everyone owed something to everyone else. And one by one, everyone was forgiving debt until all was forgiven. Then the king heard about it and all that was going on in his kingdom, and he decided to throw a royal ball to celebrate. And all the people in his kingdom went and praised the generosity of the amazing king who in his great mercy forgave. You know, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, one of his closest disciples. And Jesus experienced God's forgiveness like this. But I don't think until really Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't understand all the things that were happening, you know. Had Jesus just died, maybe he would have just been a fisherman for the rest of his life, and he'd have been happy with that. But when Jesus went back to heaven, Peter was on fire spreading the gospel. The crowds of thousands, to crowds of thousands, think about that. He said, he cried out, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter goes on to say later, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter also said that by him, that is Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. We have been forgiven so that we might also forgive. We have been shown mercy so that we can show mercy. Tell the world of all that God has done for you. How we were in the red with no hope. How God loved us and gave his son, and how Jesus' blood was shed. And not only that, but he also rose from the dead. And now the good news must be spread. You see why now I had to rhyme? It had to rhyme. So let us share the good news. Because as John says in his letter, little children, I am telling you all this because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So please get excited and spread the good news of the gospel. I have a couple of friends that I keep in good contact with here. And sometimes, you know, we'll do Bible studies. Sometimes we'll walk at the Nature Center. And I'm always amazed when I see these huge trees. They're just beautiful. Blowing in the wind. Some of them have fallen over. But they're huge. They're beautiful. And they're part of God's creation. And I think that everybody really likes to look at trees. Some are for fruit. Some are for shade. Some are for just beauty. You know? And rarely do we think about the seed that was planted. You know? We just think about the tree. It's a finished work. It's a beautiful thing. But somebody had to plant it. You know? And I encourage you guys to just start spreading seeds around. You have no idea what's going to happen. It's none of our business whether it grows or not. You know, but share God's love. Share the forgiveness that you've been. And think about it in that way. I mean, a man was sold with his wife and his kids. And forgiven a debt that he could not pay. That's all of our story. So, with that, we're gonna start communion. How do we do this, Brandon? We're gonna say a prayer, and then we're gonna release you guys to communion, and we'll have the band come on up, and let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for all the things that you bless us with. We thank you for life itself, for every breath that we take, for everything that we take for granted, Lord. We pray now that you would just accept our thanks. Help us to be madly in love with you, Lord. Help us to understand how much you've forgiven us, and help us to share that good news with other people. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us when the time is right. Give us the green lights. Help us to plant seeds. And help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Help us to enjoy the freedom and the forgiveness that we have now, Lord. Even if sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. So help us to bask in and just enjoy this forgiveness, Lord, because you've said it. And we have to believe you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.